Julia Barbaro here, host of the Julie and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
You don't ask me how I'm doing, do you? Huh? I'm doing great. I don't know about you, because you sat down in the chair 5 minutes ago and you're like, we're back at this again.
Well, we had a podcast yesterday.
It feels like the same.
Two days in a row. You got me up early at 10 o'clock. So my hair is a little wet still.
Really? So I got you up early. It's one of those days. I said, you look amazing. You're like, yeah, my hair. I said, baby, you're looking great. And you're like, no. I said, yes, you are. So
appreciate it.
I'm doing great.
How are you? How are you, Gino?
I'm doing really good. This is going to be a great show because it's about dads and it's about relationships. Not so great for me because we're not really going to talk business as much.
We'll talk business.
Talk emotions.
We'll get it in there.
So
we'll get
today's
it in
guest
there.
Is Larry Hagner. After his first of four sons were born, he quickly learned that the desire to be a legendary father, man, and husband wasn't enough. He had to learn the skills to actually do it. Actually, there is skills. You're not born with this. Larry created the Dad Edge podcast to help other men create epic marriages and connections with their kids, master their personal finances, optimize their health, and become a leader within their family. Welcome to the show. Repeat, Mr. Larry Hagner.
What's going on?
How are we doing?
I guess the first, episode we did together, it wasn't like a flop. And the fact that I get invited back to the party, I mean, hey, that's a really good sign, right? Because there's always those people, right? Like, especially as a married couple, you're like, you have that couple over, those friends over, and you're like, well, that was one time and done, wasn't it? And then there's the other ones like, well, we really liked hanging out with them. We should have them over more often.
Well, I could say the same thing. The fact that you came back on is
that's
actually
true.
All right.
That's
Larry
a good point.
Actually likes us. And
yes.
Actually, we had something intelligent to share with Larry. So listen, you've evolved. I mean, your business is crushing it. You're affecting a lot of men nowadays. Man, woman. I mean, there are distinctions. And me and my wife talk about it all the time. And I think, men are under siege. We're under attack even more than it was 2 years ago. And it's difficult. I've got five daughters and I've got one son. And sometimes I feel as if it can be challenging for that one son. So Larry, talk about what your business is all about. Talk about the Dad Ed's podcast and, dive into a little bit more of, why you started this, why you got on this journey. Because it can be a really difficult one. Talk about marriage. Now, the things that you're talking about right now to me seem as if they're controversial, whereas to me, they make total sense. So you must be getting a lot of grief from a lot of people as well.
It's interesting. You mentioned controversial because I don't view it as really controversial. I view it as a different lens to view things through that might just make more sense to people. So like, for instance, I think quote unquote controversial, you're probably talking about maybe my Instagram. And the only thing that's really changed with Instagram is the fact that we went from 20,000 followers to over 100,000 followers in the past month. And it's because I've had a couple of videos go viral. And what I would say is the things that I've been putting out for the past 8 years, I always look at the ratio as the things that ruffle people's feathers, and then they'll be the little keyboard warriors, and that kind of thing. And it's always like 90%, like, oh man, I never thought of it this way. Thank you for, thanks for the suggestion. Thanks for the advice. I'm going to try this, and then there's the 10% like, well, you don't know my situation and blah, blah, blah. And they'll just like, and I get that, like everybody's life is unique. How people operate, it makes total sense to them. That person's situation is their situation. And sometimes when things are said, what happens, I think, for people is it casts a spotlight on something that's going on in their own life, whether it's good, whether it's bad or whatever. And they have a reaction to it, right? And it's no different than if someone casts a spotlight and we're like, yes, man, I totally agree with that. Like I've been doing that, or I've believed that, or I've lived this way. And yes, exactly. Right. And then there are some things you're like, oh gosh, I do know that. Right. And it's not happening in my life. But here's the interesting thing is that when that spotlight is cast on some people, they'll want to defend that current way of living, even if it's not congruent with their integrity, even if it's not what they truly want. Because if they don't defend it, then they're like, well, I feel weak now, or I feel like I'm a victim now. So I have to defend it in some way. It's like the justification, right? Of like, of anything. So like, I'll give you an example, right? I didn't even know that this was going to happen, but I was on a podcast And I'm usually pretty, I'm a very empathetic person. You know, I'm very compassionate. I'm also very direct. You know, I have this mixture of empathy, but yet some tough love at the same time. I'm friendly, but I'm not always going to be your friend.
So you're buddies with my wife, because my wife can be very direct, but I don't know about the empathy as much, especially not towards me. She'll hammer me. She's like, right. You know, so why aren't you married? You've been dating for 4 years. Why aren't you already married? And I'm like, Julie, would you leave these people alone? I mean, they were, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you can be that mixture. Right. I mean, but so I had one of my business partners and my best friend, tragically, at the beginning of February, lost his 19-year-old daughter in a tragic car accident, and devastating, obviously to him, and devastating. You see your best friend literally walk through hell, and you know, it's impacted him. It's impacted his entire family. It's impacted, obviously, how he shows up for our business right now, which is totally okay. We're like, dude, you've got to go take care of you. Like, do whatever you feel is necessary for here, and don't do what you don't want to do. We'll pick up the pieces. Don't worry. So the day after that happened, I was on a podcast, and I was, you know, when you're devastated or in your state of mind for a friend, or you're walking through something with someone that is truly meaningful to you, or you're walking through something personally, sometimes you tend to get a little fiery. And on this podcast, I was a little fiery. And one of the questions that came up on this podcast was, you know, hey, you know, if you had the simplest advice for how men can just tweak a connection with their kids, what would it be? And I said this, I said, you know, if you want to make the simplest tweak to a connection with your kids, don't ask them, how is your day, when they come home from school, because that is the shittiest question on the planet. Like, don't do that. Because you're going to get the same crappy answer. Good, fine, busy, crazy, boring. It doesn't have any connection whatsoever. Instead, ask them questions like, what was the best part of your day? What was the most challenging part of your day? Tell me something that was meaningful that happened to you. Tell me something that made you smile. Tell me how you were kind to somebody else. Tell me something you learned today. Basically, or any types of those questions, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that you create the connection, that you create the conversation, that it's not a question that ends, a default question that ends with a really crappy default answer that doesn't provide any connection. Because I think if you get to the heart of any parent, the reason we ask how your day is because we genuinely care and we want to talk to our kids. We want to connect with them. What we don't understand, though, that's not a fault of the parent, right? That's not like, oh, you're a bad parent if you ask this question. What it is you're a great parent, but ask a great question, not a mediocre or terrible question, right? So that was the point of that. And, you know, it was funny. I had, I think, 1,800 comments on that video that reached well over 3 million views. And I would say 90% were like, oh my God, I do this every day. I'm going to switch it to this. And then we had people be like, I asked the question, holy crap. And my kid, like, you know, just completely opened up, and it was amazing. And then I had some people, I literally had like a guy be like, if I ask that question, my kid won't shut up for 45 minutes. I don't want to hear that idea. Crap. And I'm like, right. And I'm like, holy crap. And then there are other people who are like, there's way worse questions in the planet. This is not the worst one. And then a couple of people will be like, oh, so you're saying I'm a bad parent if I'm asking a question? I'm like, I didn't say that at all. You know, it's like, but I also understand that when you put things out, you know, on social media, then people are going to hate it. One other example, and this literally just happened right before I jumped onto this. You know, I make a mention of like, listen, if you want to create an extraordinary marriage, an incredible connection with your wife, or wives who listen to the show, a incredible connection with your husband, it really boils down to connection and communication. And just as we need to be, like, for instance, if you're a business owner, every business owner knows, if I want to be an effective leader and I want to make more sales and I want to be better at marketing and I want to bring more people maybe into this capital investment, if you're a real estate guy, I need to be very clear with my communication. And in order to be very clear with my communication, I have to have communication skills that are effective. Well, guess what? The same rules apply when you're trying to create connection, intimacy with your wife. So I created a short video, and it was like, isn't it odd that in order for us as adult human beings to operate a motor vehicle, we have to study, go take a written test, and then a practical. And then the state says, yes, Gino, Jake, Julie, you are now able, you're good. You pass, you're, you know, go ahead and you can drive now, right? You have the privilege to drive. But when it, and you need the same thing for a hunting license. You need the same thing for a fishing license, right? Not so much for fishing. Anybody can just go buy that or whatever. But in order to hunt and hunt safely, you got to take a hunter safety course, right? You know, firearm safety course. When you want to get married, you just simply go get the license and you get married. And my whole point of the video was, isn't it odd that the most important relationship of our entire lives doesn't really require us to learn, like, hey, if you just learn three basic skills, if you know, for instance, hey, you want to get married, Jake and Julia, here's what you need to do. Understand that her basic needs, three basic needs, are to feel seen, heard, and safe. And here's how a couple ways you can fulfill those. For her, you know, Gino's three basic needs are to feel appreciated, respected, and validated. And here's some ways you can do that. And also, here's how you can learn some conflict resolution skills. Here's how you can learn some communication intimacy skills. And after you learn those things, like, great, here's your marriage license. Now, I wasn't trying to say, like, this is required by the government, right? But I was just trying to plant a seed of, like, isn't it interesting that you need licenses for these other things, but anybody can get married, and our divorce rate is absolutely horrible. It's over 50%. I had one guy comment and be like, the government already has too much control over us. And I'm like, oh, my dear Lord, dude. That was not the point of what I was trying to make, right? I was just trying to- So that's what I think, as you see, as the quote unquote.
Larry, I'll give you a bit of advice for all the listeners out there. If you want to strengthen your marriage, do not start a podcast with your spouse. No, just joking.
Oh, see, I would think the opposite.
I'm just joking. The first couple were rough. I'm not going to lie to you, but I actually learned a lot about this podcast that we do. We do one about every 10 days. We jump on and record, and it's the highlight because I get to really tease her and make fun of her. She gets to get here and start punching me, and we learn a lot, and we're always like, you know,
happens is, like, we get a guest on, like Larry, where he brings up things that we've never talked about, let's say. And that's why I love whoever's listening out there, listen to what Larry said, because we do focus. And I know we're going to talk about that in a second. Sometimes, like some people I might know sitting next to me, sometimes focus just on work for a short amount of time. And it's like, oh my gosh, I forgot about you.
There's the focus.
You know what I mean? And then, so it's kind of, it's difficult, and I know because I've seen it and I've experienced it, because as a mom of many kids and a husband, and to try to figure out how to do it all. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you're like, all right, now did I spend some time with each one of my kids? Did I put in the effort? Am I neglecting one? And so you're always second guessing yourself as a parent,
Julia,
and a wife.
I think what I learned at coaching school, that I'm going to give you the sentence, Larry, and this is, I think I want everyone to hear this. What people say is about them. What you hear is about you. So that person basically when you're putting something out like that, I sort of agree with what you're saying, because I think we should all take basic human psychology. I mean, we all act differently, and women and men are very similar in a lot of instances, but we're very different in other instances. Our love languages are a lot different. We've interviewed Dr. Gary Chapman. Go back and listen to him. I mean, twice, actually. I guess he likes us because he's come back on the show again. So I guess he's that guy. He's amazing. But I didn't know about the love languages. I didn't know that I'm giving her gifts and she wants to really spend quality time. It's just those things that we don't know how to communicate. So what people say is about them. So when you're getting hated on and trolled on, that person is perceiving it in his way. And then, you know, what you say, the way you respond is all about you, what you're feeling. And having low self-esteem and having low confidence and being a victim really comes into play of being an adult and trying to have your kids grow up with that high self-esteem so they don't fall into the ego trap and saying, hey, it's about me, or that person's slinging arrows. And no, you want that high self-esteem so you can combat that and take it a different way. I mean, I don't know if you want to comment on anything I've said. I don't even remember what the heck I just said, but trying to make a couple points.
Well, normally, if this were me, you would have been like, Julia, do you have
a question?
I'm going to go there. I just have to bother you. It's early, and I love it.
No, I do, because you guys are in the real estate world, right?
Well, I am. She doesn't know what a cap rate is. She doesn't know. She's in the real estate.
I'm happy. She gets the draws,
and I do all the work.
As I say to my kids, right. Who's the smart one?
She's financially free, basically. Okay.
No, I think if you really want to simplify this, right, and it's hard to simplify something that's emotional. It's easy to simplify something that's like super logical and black and white, right? Something like numbers, right? I mean, like, My CPA always says, he's like, I love numbers because they don't lie, right? So, but when it comes to emotions and relationships, there's a lot of subjectiveness, right? And there's a lot of things that are at play, and there's emotional triggers. But think of it like this, right? You might have anybody listening to the show, or you might be like, I really love real estate and I really want to do it, right? And I really want to do it for all these reasons, but the how is the gap, right? So like, for instance, I invest in real estate myself and I had no idea what NOI was. I had no idea what IRR was. I had no idea what a cap rate was and what it even meant, right? And so when I was learning those things, I was like, this sounds so foreign to me. But once I learned it, I was like, oh, okay. So then suddenly the gap between like, I really love real estate and I really want to do it, and I think it could end up with, you know, the end game could be over here, which is really cool, right? But the gap was like, I just don't know exactly how to do that and what it looks like on a day-to-day basis and what skills it takes to do that, what I'm even looking for, but I can learn. Well, guess what? Your marriage is the exact same thing. The same principles apply. We don't think it applies because we watch movies like The Notebook, right? My wife loves The Notebook. I do think like I'm a romantic at heart, right? I do love romance and passion and all that good stuff too. And I love courting my wife and pursuing my wife and all those things. And I love the funny things that we do, but I'm also a realist too, that I can't depend on like, oh, well, my, you know, our love for each other will conquer all. I think that's very foundational. You have to have it. If you don't have that, it's like building a house on zero foundation or a really horrible one, right? You got to have that love, right? At the same time, you have to learn the skills of how to use tactical empathy, like my man Chris Voss teaches, mm-hmm. right? Never Split the Difference. You can actually use that in relationships and it is freaking beautiful. It's magical. You can use skill sets like using the right voice tone. I could literally say the exact same words, use a different voice tone, and it completely changes the meaning of it. So like, for instance, if I was looking at your shirt, Gino, and I could be like, Gino, what's up with that shirt, man? Now that's voice tone number one. But if I would be like, Gino, what's up with that shirt, man? Just take note to how did you feel one versus two? Just that one skill set alone. How did you feel?
What people say is about them. What you hear is about you. If I'm in a good state, I hear that. I'm like, the second one is rocking. I like that. The first one, you're being a little judgmental. I think I have to be conscious of my thoughts and how I'm perceived and where I am. Did I have a fight with my wife 30 minutes before you said that? If I had a fight with her and she's driving me nuts, I'd be like, you know, Larry, why are you hating on the shirt? But the second one would make me feel a lot better. So I love that. I mean, it's great.
So voice tone mm-hmm. is one. Generative questions. Generative questions is more of an academic term. I'll use this term: intimate conversation starters that spark connection. So that learning that skill set of being incredibly curious and asking really good deep questions. And if you're still scratching your head, you guys in the audience wondering, well, what does that even look like? Think of your first date with your wife. Like literally, like the first time you took her out, and you probably couldn't wait to ask her all like, what was your childhood like? You know, what are your parents like? You know, why are you studying nursing? You know, and like, tell me what you want to do in 5 years. How many kids mm-hmm. do you want? Like all this curiosity and these questions that lead to connection and better answers. You can still do that. I've been married to my wife for 20 years. Still ask her generative questions, right? Psychological safety. That's another one. That's where you and I can talk about anything and everything, ideas, questions, concerns, without judgment, blame, or pain, right? And there are skills that we can do that. If we learn those skills, just like you're in real estate, you learn about NOI, you learn about IRR, you learn about cap rates. And now you're like, okay, now I know what to look for. Well, your intimate relationships are no different. You can learn those skills to elevate the connection with your wife. And what I can tell you is it is romantic. A lot of people are like, well, if I learn these skills, does it take away the feeling of love? I'm like, no, it enhances it. Because you've already got the feeling of love, but now you have a tool to make it even better.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from 0 units to over $250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, BuyRight, ManageRight, and FinanceRight.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Build Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from 0 to 2,000 units and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey in multifamily.
I got the tagline for the podcast right now, and this I learned this from Luke Wren. He was at one of our speakers at MM5. He's coming back at MM6. Your language becomes your experience. Larry was an inexperienced real estate investor. He learned NOI, IRR. All of a sudden, the language became the experience. He understood it. And it's the same thing with relationships. If you don't, I heard an intimate conversation. I'm like, hey, when are we going to fool around, baby? That's what I thought. And you're like, oh, but that's the wrong part of the language, right? The right part of the language is asking those questions. Then when you took me back to that very first date, I asked some of those questions. I'm like, am I sure I want to go on a second date with this girl? She's got some weird answers here. But looking at it, I had a lot of weird answers myself. But once you learn the language of what you're talking about, it's really, really important. And I think relationships and marriage has that language. And we all need to learn that language. So thanks for pointing that out.
Well, also, I want to point out, you've been married 20 years, and I think that's incredible. Yeah. But we do at times realize, like, we forget that we have to still learn about each other because we've changed so much, right? I'm sure the two of you have changed as a man, as a father, as a husband in all these years, and we have to get to know you again. And I think a lot of us, I don't know if we put it off purposely, but maybe we just, we're married, it's we're work. Good. I'm good. I just need to focus on work right now. Or, we're married, I'm good. I got to focus on the kids right now. I don't have much time for this. But what happens when you do that? What happens when you put that off? And there's a lot of people listening, I know, that it's almost like they're afraid to start the conversation. They're afraid to know a little bit about their spouse because they don't know. I don't know. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. What a beautiful question. I love this question. It also reminds me of a rather controversial, quote unquote, controversial video that we just put out. And the video was, if you really, your priorities. So our priorities with my wife and I, and they always have been God, marriage, kids, right? So, faith is a big part of our family, but the way that, a lot of parents, a lot of married couples, what they'll do is it's all about the kids, right? It is everything that we do is for the kids. Like our marriage is back burner. Right? These kids come first. And here's what I'll say about that. I think that that's incredibly noble. I also think it's part of like our primal DNA, yeah. Right? To be parents first, right? To be caretakers, to make sure our kids are protected, provided for, that they're led, that they're raised to be good human beings. I don't think that should ever, ever be the sacrifice of building an incredible marriage with your wife. And here's why I tell you that. So I say that Jessica and I come first. I even tell my boys this, like, listen, at the end of the day, your mom comes first. I know it might be hard to hear, but listen, what I mean by that is your mom comes first because we're the foundation of this house, right? And in order for our family to thrive, mom and I have to be on point because the more we're on point, the better parents we are for you. So it's actually a very selfless thing to do. It actually makes us better parents. It actually allows us to put the kids at a high, high, high priority because we're like, hey, one of the things that we need to do is create safety in this house. If we're bickering, fighting, disconnected, arguing, is that a safe environment? Does that feel good for these kids to be around? No, it doesn't. I don't know how you guys were raised, but I was raised in the opposite and I never wanted to be home. And when I was home, it was like walking on broken glass. I hated it. So in order for the kids to feel safe, to feel good, we have to be on point because that energy radiates from us, right? And what I will tell you is four boys, 17, 15, 9, and 7, these boys are always here and their friends are always here. We've been told we're the house. I love being the house. I also like, it's also very concerning from a grocery bill to be the house. Because we go through so much food, but I'd rather be the house than not the house. But that is such a compliment to us because my kids' friends will tell my sons, your parents, your house is so cool to be at. And they don't mean it because we allow things to happen. We don't. We're actually insanely strict about boundaries and certain things we allow and certain things we don't. But we provide this element of like, you are always welcome here. Like bring your friends here. Like we're happy. We're laughing. We're a couple. And here's why I tell you that too. Our kids, like look at the divorce rate. It's over 50%. The other statistic that a lot of people don't know, and this actually comes from the book, Miracle Morning for Couples, that was written by Lance and Brandy Salazar, also co-written by Hal Elrod. I don't know exactly what study they looked at, but I know they looked at a study, so I can't quote the exact study, but I know that study is in their book. The study of couples that stay together are actually divided up into three camps, one-third, one-third, and one-third. I don't know if it was surveys or polls or whatever they did, but they did study this. So one-third of couples that stay together are actually happy. Like, they, if you ask them, everything's working in their relationship and there's a common denominator there. Like, they're happy. Like, they're very happy and fulfilled. The second camp is they're more settled. Like, oh, I love him. He loves me. We're okay. Kind of friends. Maybe ships that kind of pass in the night. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 5. It's not awesome. I'm not really going anywhere, but it's not really great, but it's not terrible. It's kind of like more just mediocre. And then the third camp is total disconnect, emotional, physical, living two separate lives completely. And they're just waiting for the kids to move out before they get divorced. So if you really look at that, there's a lot of married couples and couples that have been divorced that simply don't know the skills. And this, the camp, the first camp that I was telling you about, the ones that are in love or the ones that their relationship's working, they grow together. They learn together. They constantly pursue each other. They understand that love doesn't conquer all, that they need to do things in order to grow together, right? So the way Jessica and I view our relationship, and this is one of the things we teach, is our boys have a front row seat to a either fully functional relationship or a dysfunctional one. Which one are we going to provide for them? So Jessica and I were very open with like our communication in front of the kids. We've been open with even our conflict resolution. We were in a disagreement, even arguing one time. And my oldest son came up. He's like, are you guys arguing? Cause he doesn't see us arguing very much. I'm like, yeah, we're actually in a disagreement. He's like, are you guys going to get a divorce? I was like, all right. What? I was like, you know what? Pull up, have a seat. I was like, I would love for you to see conflict resolution. This is how fully functional adults will resolve conflict. And Jessica and I went back and forth for 15 minutes. We spoke to each other kindly. We spoke to each other with respect. We allowed the other person to talk without interrupting. We said thank you for certain pieces of feedback. And then we came to a compromise. And then we hugged and we kissed. And I looked at my son. I said, what did you see? What did you observe? And we didn't put on a show for him. I didn't actually know how the conversation was going to roll. I had a good feeling of how it was going to roll, but I wasn't certain. And he was like, oh my God. He goes, you guys didn't yell. You didn't call each other names. And he even observed this, which I was really pleasantly surprised. He goes, at points I saw that you guys didn't fully agree with each other, but you somehow appreciated the other person's point of view. And I was like, oh my God, he saw that? Like, that's amazing. So I'm sitting here thinking, at the time he was 15 years old. And I'm like, I would have loved to have seen this at 15 years old. So that's why I say, you know, we're married first, we're parents second. That's not to say, like, listen, we're married here. And like the parents are like it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percentage, right? Of priority. But you've got to make sure that, like, I can't ever say, and Jessica can't ever say, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to put any effort into this marriage because I'm just too busy with work, or I'm just too busy with the kids. And we'll get to you after the kids move out and they're in college. I think that's the wrong thing to do, right? Whether people agree with me or not, I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Larry, you must not be Italian, because the Italians were screaming. I'm with my hands. I'm yelling. Even when we're not arguing, yeah. The kids think we're arguing, because I get excited.
It's kind of comical. Yes. Many of our children thought we used to argue every single week, like big time in the car. And I'm like, it took like almost 6 months from our oldest daughter, who was probably 9 at the time. She's like, you guys just fight all the time. I don't know what to do. And I said, when do we fight? And she's like, every time we drive to grandma's, every Monday you guys fight. And I said, holy cow. I said, we're just talking. I think it was politics maybe. And I said, no, this is just the way we talk with our hands. And she's like, oh. And I think that's the misunderstanding. I love what you did with your son, because I think that's one of the things that we don't teach our children, is how to have an argument or a disagreement with respect. Because a lot of times, right, like you said, with your past, I mean, a lot of it was just yelled and uncomfortable, and you leave and you don't want anything to do with it. And so how do you go into a marriage and know how to have a argument or a disagreement with your wife if you were never taught? And so I just want to, that's amazing that you're teaching your children this is what it looks like. This is how it looks like to have, you know, have a conflict and to resolve it. And let me tell you, your boys are going to make amazing husbands when they grow up because they know what a solid marriage looks like. They've experienced it, but also they were taught how to have one.
This question just triggered because my wife can go on for the next 2 minutes and give a beautiful soliloquy, but I want to ask Larry this question, which is really important.
What does that mean?
I don't even know. It sounded good though, didn't it? With your boys, they must have a great relationship with their moms because, I mean, like daughters and husbands, because I want my daughters to actually marry someone similar to me.
Well, me and the kids talked about this. I'm just kidding.
You're killing me here. You're killing the question. No. But talk about how your boys need to have the relationship with their mom, because ultimately, I mean, a lot of us end up marrying our moms and daughters end up gravitating towards dad. So we have a responsibility to see how we act. And like Julie said, the connection
between fathers and daughters and sons and mothers. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's really, my wife, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, my wife, we make a lot of efforts to do this right. But I also have to give a lot of credit to her and just her personality type. So my wife is the oldest of three and she's got two younger brothers. Her dad is a blue collar, you know, mechanic. Her two younger brothers, one's a contractor, one's an electrician. And my wife kind of grew up on dune buggies and dirt bikes, you know, I mean, that's like, and so I always call her like a guy's gal. And I love that about her. Like she's the type of girl, she's the type of woman that will go to the gym and she'll crush you in a workout and then she'll punch you in the arm and then go have a beer with you at lunch afterwards. But yet she's smoking hot and just beautiful and can also be a very feminine individual as well. She's got like this really cool balance. But I think for a boy, I've noticed, and I don't have anything to back this up. So I don't know. I've never asked my boys this, but I wonder, like my wife, I'll take my two oldest to the gym one day a week and she'll take them the other. And she works out with them. And my boys, like I'm sitting here thinking like, I can't believe like these teenage boys are actually like cool going to the gym with their mom. But their mom is also like crushing like, you know, heavy weights on leg presses and stuff like that, right? Which I think they kind of like. But, you know, she does life with them. She is this incredible balance of tough love, like I'm tough love, but I'm also going to just love you so much. Right. And my wife is very affectionate and it's cool because like I grew up in a really chaotic environment where I never even wanted to be home. There's a lot of alcohol, a lot of craziness, a lot of chaos. There wasn't a whole lot of love. And if it was, it was short lived. But like my wife does this thing where, you know, like I'll even highlight my 15-year-old. My 15-year-old he weighs as much as I do now, and he is stronger than me now, which is kind of scary. He is like your typical wrestler, football player, you know, shot put, discus, burly, like specimen of a young man. And he is a marshmallow with my wife. It's incredible. And he has this incredible unspoken bond with my wife. And he's a physical touch love language. And he still wants hugs from my wife multiple times a day. And he'll do this thing where he comes in for a hug and he just like kind of like gets into her shoulder a little bit. And then my wife like scratches his back while she hugs him and he melts. And so like, I think my wife really understands and she's different how she goes about affection and love for each one of the boys, cause they're all different, but she knows them and she knows them very well. So it's incredible to see how my wife operates with each boy collectively, but also individually. But my wife is also very intentional about, because I'm very intentional about one-on-one time with each one of my boys. Well, so is she. And we have this trade-off of like, hey, if you schedule one-on-one time with one, can I, and vice versa, right? So my wife always does these things where she spends intentional one-on-one time with the boys, you know, and it's like her date days. And sometimes it's a staycation and like an overnight, like she just took my 9-year-old first staycation last week. And that creates such an incredible bond, you know, with your kids. And the last and final thing I'll say about my wife and sons is that my wife is not the type of woman who's like, I don't want to do that. Like I might be unpretty if I do that. She's more like, yeah, let's go do that. Like my wife and I played flag football with the kids during COVID outside. And I was just like, I was looking back and I was like, I don't know any woman that would put a flag around her waist and play flag football with her sons like my wife does. And I think my boys like look at that and be like, my mom's badass. Like, that's cool. So I think that that has a lot to do with it. My wife knows the skills. She knows each one of the boys' love languages. She loves them individually, intently, the way they need it. And she's also not afraid to do life with them on a boy level.
Larry, I want to respect your time. We've been on. Yep. I want you to share all the resources you have, your podcast, your website, where can people get a hold of you, your amazing programs that you have. Because if you're a dad out there that's just figuring it out, we go to college for 4 years to get trained up, to get a job. We get married. There's no skills learned. We start having kids. There's even less skills there. Where can people find out more about what you're doing and how you're creating impact for others?
Sure. And thank you. Anywhere you download podcasts, you can find the Dad Edge podcast. We've been doing this now for 8 years, over 1,000 episodes. So lots of content for you there. If you're looking for more free content for marriage, you can head on over to the dadedge.com/25 questions. Those are the intimate conversation starters. So you'll get a PDF and a quick video training of why these are so impactful. If you're a business owner, like I imagine you have a lot of entrepreneurs who listen to the podcast. If you want to optimize that trifecta that we were talking about, you know, create an extraordinary marriage, you know, connection with your kids while also continuing to scale and grow your business, we have a program called the Dad Edge Accelerator, which is for business owners, where we help them do exactly that. You can find that over at thedadedge.com/alliance. There's an application for that. And then you meet with our team. And if it's something you want to do and it's something we want you to do, you can enter into that program and do life with us.
My big takeaway, I have to say, if you don't mind, is the part where you're talking about having your home being welcoming to other people, because I was kind of struggling with that too. I know this might take a second, but my son, we have one boy, he's in college, which is local, and he invites his friends over, his college friends, and they just want to come over. They just want to sit in the back. There's something about the home, and it's what you're talking about, that welcoming feeling of being loved, being fed, which yes, our grocery bill did go up because of it. But what do? They sit, they smoke cigars, they talk about theology, and they just want to sit there. They just want to be part of our life, because I think of what you're talking about is that we have a positive view on marriage. My husband and I are very respectful. Yes, we do tease each other a lot, but it's a respectful way. The girls are there in a loving way. And I'm just curious out there listening, is that your home? Is that what you desire for your home to be? Is that welcoming place? And if it's not, what can we do to change that? Because it really does. I'm telling you, a lot of people don't have that at home and they're craving that. And so maybe that's your place.
Well, like Larry said, 15%. So you take 15% of the 50 that are married, that are stayed married. That, I mean, that's a third. So a third, that number is very minuscule. So I think ultimately for me, I think marriage is a great institution. I love being married. I was such a jerk early on, man. I needed a lot of work and I'm evolving every day. And I think my wife knows that I love her no matter what I do. And I'll always respect and I'll always protect her. Now, do I need a lot of work with the communication? Absolutely. And I'm evolving.
Hey, you're getting there. I love your progress. Slow is good. Slow is good. I'm okay with it.
Larry, I want to thank you for being on. And you know, one thing that I really learned from the podcast, I will never ask my wife how your day was ever again. I say,
I really do hate that, baby. Because I'm like, which part of my day? Like, which part do you want to know about?
Thanks for being on, Larry. We really appreciate
Larry,
it.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been an excellent podcast.
I'm Gino. She's Julia. And we are Julia and Gino,
so painful.
Everybody. Thanks.